Issues, etc. Reformation Week begins October 18th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Well, I'm sure that she's going to regret this at some point, although she doesn't seem to regret it right now. Duke Coed published an online sex diary of her sexual conquests. What does it say about the sexual ethos on the college and university campus? Joining us to talk about that, Colleen Carroll Campbell, host of a TV program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd.
From a female perspective, can you fathom why this college co-ed at Duke did what she did?
Well, I don't think it was smart or desirable, and I don't think it's something a lot of us can fathom. On the other hand, I think college students, they tend to be young and impulsive, and I think we live in a culture that in some ways encourages this kind of behavior. What Karen Owen did in writing this fake thesis, naming names and going into great detail about all of her drunken sexual escapades was, you know, on the extreme end of something that unfortunately I think is not as uncommon as her particular behavior. This, as I said, was an extreme thing to do, but it was done in the context of a culture that treats sex as a contact sport, and especially of a hookup culture on college campuses that treats drunken sexual couplings as a joke. And women are supposed to prove how liberated they are by sort of being in on the joke. So in a sense, as difficult as it is for those of us not on a college campus and sort of not in that mindset to understand, in some ways this is kind of, I think, more common than we'd like to believe.
And some might say, yes, this was extreme, it was foolish, it was young, it was the kind of the impulse of youth. But, you know, women now occupy the same place sexually in the hierarchy as men do. And as they say, boys will be boys. Now, apparently, girls will be girls, too. Your response?
Well, we've heard this increasingly in recent years. And, in fact, just in covering this particular story, I know a reporter for one of the blogs that published this thesis said, you know, that this woman, Karen Owen, had changed the stereotype of what women want. She said, you know, this just proves that women want exactly what men want, and this is supposed to be a good thing. A few years ago, an interesting book came out called Female Chauvinist Pigs by journalist Ariel Levy, and she probed this argument that we're hearing more and more in the sort of era of Girls Gone Wild videos and student-run porn magazines and all the rest, asking, you know, is this really what feminism is all about? And unfortunately, a growing number of young women are saying, yes, that's what it means to be liberated. To be liberated is, for them at least, to imitate boys behaving badly, to be as crass and as callous about sexual matters as the most, you know, unrepentant cad on campus. And to be so proud of it, in fact, that in the case of this particular woman, you publish online all of your exploits. You know, how these women are going to feel, though, about this behavior in 5, 10, 15 years is, I think, going to be the real test of whether this is liberating. And I think we all know it's not going to be nearly as liberating as they were hoping. In fact, of course, anything published on the Internet sort of lives forever, and they're probably going to have a lot of explaining to do when they do find Mr. Right as opposed to Mr. Right now and have to tell him why they shared these kind of details and this kind of grotesque commentary on all of their escapades with the whole world.
Talk about what happens on campus, not just what the students do, but what on many college and university campuses is considered normal that helps contribute to the sexual ethos there.
Well, university programming has increasingly moved in a very disturbing direction on this front in recent years. And, you know, that was true throughout the 90s when I was in college, but it's I think, even more true today. You know, we hear these university administrators at Duke and then also at Rutgers University, where the student committed suicide recently, saying, you know, this is terrible, this is such a, you know, a tragic thing when these kinds of embarrassing or tragic events unfold. And yet, these are the same administrators who are not only tolerating, but often expecting and even celebrating the fact that casual sex will be rampant in dorm rooms. They're sponsoring X-rated freshman orientation programs. Just, you know, surf the internet for stories of some of just the freshman orientation programs we've seen this fall. Lutheran School Gustavus Adolphus, it's affiliated, I think, with the ELCA, and probably very loosely at this point. But they had a freshman orientation program that was so explicit, it made national headlines a week or so ago. These same universities, and secular ones particularly, fund porn-saturated sex week festivities. They devote an entire week to featuring pornographers, and under the pretense of safe sex, but really the message that students get is it's a free-for-all out there, and, you know, have at it. And then they really create a dorm atmosphere as well, without any rules. There are co-ed dorms where they're basically no restrictions on who can be in what room and who's doing what. The idea is, well, they're adults now. But, of course, we know a 17-, 18-, 19-year-old kid sort of just released from mom and dad's house is not really probably equipped to deal with, you know, a co-ed floor where there are no rules and the only thing you're told repeatedly is, you know, do whatever you like sexually, just make sure and use protection. There is no protection, of course, for the heart and for what happens to these kids when they participate in this bacchanal and then look up 4 years later and realize they really haven't learned much about relationships and they feel pretty used and discarded oftentimes. And I think, unfortunately, that's what we're going to see from women like Karen Owen, who in the midst of this think it's exciting and, you know, hey, I'm just one of the guys, I'm just, you know, having fun. And then you look at these same women and you poll them, and we've seen polls, in fact. The Institute for American Values did one a few years ago that show, you know, beneath the surface and especially a few years down the road, these women are not talking about liberation when they describe the hookup culture. They're talking increasingly about feeling used.
If you would, with about a minute here, the even broader context seems to be that many of our young people come to the college campus not only encouraged by the institution to engage in this kind of behavior. It sounds like encouragement to me.
Right.
But with no real personal moral compass by which to navigate that kind of a literal minefield sexually and behaviorally. About a minute for your thoughts there.
I think that's right. And I think increasingly, again, that's because the message we give teenagers and young adults when it comes to sex is use protection. Do whatever you like. There are no moral standards for this. There is no need to have a particular context for sex. It doesn't have to be marriage. Increasingly, we're not even telling them it has to be love or sentimental feelings toward the other person. It's simply about body parts, pleasure, and doing whatever you want. And we're so terrified of appearing judgmental to young people that we have really set them loose in a situation that I think is overwhelming, and it becomes, you know, basically like a jungle, and they're out there with no rules. And what we have to think about too are not so much just the kids who are sort of the most extreme hedonists, like a Karen Owen, or the ones who come from very strong families where they're raised with the value of chastity and they know exactly what they're going to do in this culture. But it's that mushy middle, that large number of students who show up not completely convinced of where they fall between those two extremes and maybe deep down desiring to practice chastity or at least some sexual self-control, and finding that rather than getting support for that, the adults all around them are merely handing them a condom and telling them to, you know, have at it. And those are the students, I think, who are really suffering quietly from this culture of sexual anarchy on college campuses, because those are the ones who are the most susceptible to the environmental pressures and who feel everyone else is doing it and I'm a loser if I'm not in the middle of this. And those are the kids, I think, too, who are going to regret it, especially down the road, when they know that they acted against their deepest values and they didn't get any support for standing up for those values when they most desperately needed it.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns online. Find them at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Colleen, thank you.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll begin a series on apparent contradictions in the Bible. You've heard of these, many of these. Often you're presented with these in maybe a Christian context of a Bible class, or maybe just someone asking you, doesn't the Bible have two accounts of the creation, and aren't they different? How do you respond to that? Well, tomorrow we'll begin that series. Dr. Joel Heck will kick it off. We'll talk about those two accounts of creation in the book of Genesis. Then we'll also answer the question, did Adam die immediately after the fall, after God said, on the day you eat of it, you will die? But Adam lived, what, close to 700 years, if I'm not mistaken. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. We'll also play Soundbite of the Week with you. Four pieces of Issues Etc. audio. We'll put them together for you tomorrow, and we'll let you listen, and then we'll let you vote for Soundbite of the Week. That's Friday, tomorrow on Issues Etc. We cheapen sex. We cheapen those who engage in it. We say it's no big deal. Then we say to one another, you're no big deal. So what do we expect from our young people when we teach them decade after decade that sex is no big deal and they are no big deal? This kind of behavior, right? I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.